Valvoline Instant Oil Change wants you to breathe out your oil change anxiety. And breathe in automotive peace. Visit us today.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two or more, potentially, episodes of the Pokemon anime series and just whatever other random stuff happens to pop into our heads. Just keep in mind, this is an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And this week, I'm joined with my co-host, Austin. Hi, Austin.
Yellow.
Orange.
Ah!
I can't believe we picked the same color.
I picked that because that's your signature color there. Well, debatable. Anyway, I also have another special co-host this week. Somebody who has never been on our podcast is a new guest host. I would like to welcome my boyfriend, Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just keeping on.
Josh, I love how you waved at the camera.
Yeah, people can hear my hand, you know.
I think it's all about, like, dress for your job when you're at home, allegedly. It'll make you feel more enthusiastic. Of course, I don't do that. I wear pajamas at work when I'm working at
home. That sounds like a method of social control.
Well, possibly.
Do you guys ever do the thing where if you have to be on camera... I mean, I guess I could say a lot about being forced to be on camera, but you just wear your pajama pants and then your polo or whatever?
I think I have... I'm afraid I'm going to have to stand up because there's a fire or something.
A fire?
It's sort of a worst case scenario. So I'm like, no, I got to dress head to toe.
I guess that'd be my fear. It's like, oh, you have to stand up and get something like a paper or something else near you. And people are like, oh, you're wearing your like pajamas. But yeah, this week I think is going to be a little bit of a different episode. We have three instead of two to talk about. Is that right, Austin?
You know, if it was up to me, we'd be doing three every week because I want to get through Johto faster. But I was vetoed on that.
Once upon a time, we did do three episodes a week. So we're in the thrilling conclusion of the Whirl Islands arc. Unless there's some secret Whirl Island stuff I don't know about after this, I think we're about at the end, right?
There's like a transition episode, but that's it.
Okay. And then it's back to serious business, because we have an Olivine City gym badge to win.
I have a question for Josh.
Ask away.
Does anything Alex say make any sense whatsoever? Because I know you're not too familiar with the Pokemon franchise.
I did watch it on Kids W, the 4Kids dub on Kids WB as a kid.
Yeah.
So I'm not completely... It's filtered through multiple decades of memory loss, but I do recall the basics.
I think it's more fun that way. Because Josh, you don't really... I mean, since you were a kid, you haven't really... watched it, and you haven't played any of the games, right?
I have not played any of the Pokemon games. I've never actually owned a Nintendo device.
Austin, how do you feel about that, Austin, being a Nintendo person your whole life?
I'm a Nintendo person, but I'm not so deranged that I think everyone was growing up. My question for you is, were you a PlayStation or Xbox kid, or always a PC guy? Or none of the above, like a normal fucking person?
Oh my gosh.
I'm not a normal fucking person, but...
Good.
I kind of went back and forth. I was PS2, then 360, then PS4, then I went to PC after that.
Okay. See, that's my social theory is, if you're a Nintendo person, you're a Nintendo person. If you're not, you can switch between Sony and Microsoft without brand loyalty.
Josh followed the sort of same trajectory as I did, at least with the consoles. He made the switch to PC superiority, but I never did. But you are a Nintendo guy, first and foremost.
I'm a Nintendo guy. I'm horrible at technology, so I'm never going to go through that rigmarole of having a PC because it would immediately die. And it would be a waste of my money.
Well, nice thing about a gaming PC is all the parts are heavily standardized, so it's a lot easier to fix than if something goes wrong on a console.
Fair enough.
I'm just trying to imagine you, Austin, like building a PC and playing PC games.
We can't all be hot like Henry Cavill and make our own PC while wearing a tank top and, like, showing off our pectoral muscles. I'm sorry.
Play Warhammer 40K. I know. Well, that's all right. You know, as long as you're just doing what makes you happy. Or not playing video games at all. Sometimes maybe we all need a break.
Not sure how many of those are listening to this.
Good point.
That is a good point. So that's interesting. It'll be interesting to hear your thoughts. We gave Josh homework, you know, obviously watching these three episodes. Kind of gave him the rundown on how our format is. So I'm really interested to jump right in. I mean, unless you guys, you want to talk about our weeks first?
I went to the zoo.
The zoo. I know, you saw a giraffe and an elephant. I saw the pictures.
I saw all sorts of animals.
What was your favorite animal exhibit? I thought you were going to go chill with the penguins, Austin. How'd that go?
They don't have penguins.
Oh my gosh, do they not?
Nope.
So they have anacondas, though.
Oh, they do have anacondas.
So they have a reptile house.
How much do I sound like a five-year-old? What was your favorite animal? I like the snake. You like the penguins? They didn't have penguins.
I know, you sound very much like your nephew when I was trying to ask him questions. Luckily for you, the day you went, it wasn't super hot. So that was good.
And it wasn't crowded either.
Well, you did go in the middle of a weekday.
Right. Well, going to the zoo with a five-year-old is funny because the adults want to like be like, oh, look at the majestic elephant walking. And the child is like, okay, next one. And like runs away, basically.
He got all of he needed out of that 1 second and he's on to the next.
I'm like, no, that's, you're not going to see an elephant every day of your life. Come in and look at his majesty. Come back.
You're going to feel real silly once those go extinct.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Poor elephants. What was your nephew's favorite exhibit, Austin?
The red pandas.
Aww.
Oh, I take it back. Bald eagle.
Those are both good choices. All right, Austin. I'm moving on. Josh, what is going on in your world?
Well, the saga with fixing up my mom's house is more or less ending. At least my role in it.
I've been hearing about this saga for months and months and months now.
It has been hell.
I know.
At one point, was replacing all these water-damaged planks in the... in her entryway, and turns out that they don't make the flooring over there anymore. So I try to improvise reversing it around. There are not enough planks to do this. So eventually we just say, okay, Josh, go to Floor and Decor, get some luxury vinyl tile, and put a little entryway pad in. Okay. And that's the rest of my day that day.
Well, you did a super good job. I've seen the pictures of the final product, and I think it looks a lot better.
Yeah, it was an improvement. For sure.
I'm glad you're mostly finished. I know that's a... I can't even imagine, like, even moving one room, let alone, like, moving an entire house.
I had to re-pour sections of the driveway.
Josh has done pretty much everything that, at least I can think of. You know, roof patching, floor changing, painting, lighting installation.
You make selling a house sound like a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. Oh, and the lighting installation alone, nothing in that house was wired right. I'm surprised, I'm not going to get into exactly what was wrong, but I'm surprised the one over the kitchen sink didn't kill somebody.
I'm surprised it didn't kill you.
Do enough wiring and you become immune to electricity.
I hate being electrocuted. It's the weirdest feeling.
It's only electrocution if you die.
Oh,
it's electric shock if you live.
All right. By a show of hands, how many of us have been shocked in our lifetimes? All three.
All of us. Josh has two hands.
Well, I can say that I'm glad that your endeavors in fixing stuff around the house is complete.
There's a cat.
There's a cat. Oh, yeah. So Josh, last night, he brought two of the cats to his place. And now he's a proud cat dad.
Oh, like permanently?
Yep.
Oh, cute.
This is Sonia. I actually hand-raised and bottle-fed her as a kitten.
Oh, how old is she?
She's about five now. We found her behind a cabinet shop I used to work at.
She's so sweet.
So you have two cats. How many cats are left?
So my mom has three at her place and a chihuahua that's very thoroughly not a chihuahua.
Does the chihuahua think it's a cat?
He thinks he's a cat and he's probably half something else. We got him from this couple who breeds teacup chihuahuas, but he does not look like a teacup chihuahua to the point where pretty sure something Pomeranian or something chewed its way through the fence, you know?
That dog is decidedly a giant loaf of bread.
He is an artisan loaf. I mean, he is almost spherical.
Basically.
And fluffy. He is quite fat.
Yeah, that dog is definitely not. You could not fit him in a bag.
But he did fit in a cheek cup chihuahua at one point in time.
Oh, yeah.
One of those tiny designer dogs gave birth to that. And I am very sorry for it.
But yeah, so now you've got your two of your kitty cats. I'm glad things are all going well for you. Anything else you want to mention before we move on?
Not really.
Alex, how's your week?
I'm tired. I'm really trying to pull it together. I was talking to Josh and Austin before we started recording, and I let them know that if I was out of it was because my neighbors, they were once again having a midnight pool party bash, and it went on to like 1:30 in the morning, and they were playing super loud music.
There's nothing you can do.
I know, there's nothing I can do. Obviously, they're skirting the rules because the posted signage says dusk, but nobody reads the signs and nobody cares.
If it makes you feel better, it's up till 5 in the morning.
I don't know, I guess we're all in need of a nap after this then. That's what I'm gonna do.
We are awake. We are excited. Lugia, no. Team Rocket, Oliver.
Oh, Oliver.
Luca.
Oh my gosh, all those thrilling people. Who Josh has no idea who those people are. He's like,
I'm so excited to hear Josh's takes on these.
I want to hear Josh's takes on the Richie of it all, because he's completely unbiased.
I forgot Richie was in these episodes.
Really? I thought... Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to save it, because I have some opinions on Richie. So we're doing a 3-episode arc this week, like we said, the thrilling finale of the Whirl Islands. We have the Mystery is History. That's the first one. A Parent Trapped.
Love that one.
I know, that's such a good name. And then to round out the trilogy, A Promise is a Promise.
That one's not as good.
And honestly, you know, these three episodes are kind of just like one big episode smashed together. They sort of just cut at the end, and then it's like a direct continuation.
It's a 70-minute TV movie.
Maybe it's because of the Lugia being there. Like, we had the movie with Lugia, and now it's like back and it has 3 episodes. So I guess the writers really love Lugia.
They've been setting this up for like 10 episodes now.
I guess. Maybe it's just me, or, you know, the cynicalness of it, but it's like, they made such a big deal about the mystery Pokemon, and it's just like, oh.
It's just a Lugia.
Sure, yawn, whatever. How did you guys feel about that? You just felt sort of like, oh, or was it exciting?
I mean, Lugia's cool. The baby was kind of weird looking.
In what way? Like, it's just big eyes, or?
Yeah, like, I got Ken the Pidgey vibes.
Oh my god. It was too, I think everything was too round. I know it's a baby, but I guess I can see where you're coming from. How are we going to break this down this week, Austin, since there's 3 of us?
Y'all remember this order, because I'm not going to.
Let me write this down.
Okay, yes, thank you. First, in the 30-second summary, Austin is summarizing. Then Josh is going to do the 30-second summary for the second episode. Then Alex is going to do the 30-second summary for the 3rd episode.
And then what about our main discussion?
Alex is doing the first one, Austin is doing the second one, and Josh is going to do the thrilling finale!
He's going to wrap it up in a neat little bow.
Okay, I don't know what I said, who's doing what. I genuinely have no idea.
I know, I literally just forgot the minute I closed out my little notepad. Okay, so the first 30-second summary, Austin, that's you. So you are going to summarize the mystery is history, and then I will lead that discussion.
Okay, someone time me.
Are you ready?
No, because I don't know where the episode ends.
Well, I will give you 30 seconds to figure it out, Austin. In 3, 2, 1, go.
The twerps find Richie, much to our national nightmare, and they all find a little boy who's alarmingly not dressed, and his name is Oliver, and he has a baby Lugia friend, and Richie's very suspicious of all this. And Team Rocket's also here, not Team Rocket, Justin James, Cassie and Butcher here with Dr. Namba, and they want that baby Lugia, and... Where does the episode end? I don't know. Luca's there, I think.
All right, then... time. You know, honestly, it all kind of blends together. So if there's a lot of overlap in this, that's just how it's going to be. So I think where we left off in the previous episode, which was Hi-Ho Silver Away, we get through the tunnel and we see a very familiar face. A Pikachu with some bed hair that needs some mousse, like, really bad, and that's Sparky. Of course, that means that Richie is not far behind. So yeah, we find out that we haven't seen Richie since the Indigo League, which how many episodes has it been since the Indigo League?
That was midway through season 2.
And this is currently season 4?
5?
I don't even know. Okay, so we haven't seen Richie in a long time. Richie is, as we know, Ash's best friend for life and rival. So Richie's on Oogie Island and he's researching...
I'm sorry, I'm just watching Josh.
I know, I'm so distracted. Sonia keeps walking back and forth and I'm like looking over there and looking at my notes. Sonia's the mysterious Pokemon. Okay, so Richie is on Oogie Island like the twerps are, and he's researching the mysterious Pokemon. And he's done a lot of library research because apparently this is common knowledge. I don't know how he found out.
The mystery is very strange because there's several books about it in the library.
Does nobody know that this is a Lugia? Like, this doesn't seem like it should be that mysterious.
No, it does not. How do you miss the giant whale-sized bird that's flying around?
But there's also multiple Lugia, so it's not like this super rare thing that only is seen once in a lifetime. I mean, they're apparently all over the place.
And as we've learned, you can't go 5 seconds in the water without Lugia showing up and saving you from certain doom.
Yeah, how many people have, like, claimed to see it? So we had, like, Luca's grandpa, what was her name? Ariane. She also, her family seen it. Like, everybody's
seen it. Her fiancé saw it.
Yeah. And apparently the Silverwing, I mean, they have a whole island dedicated to, like, Silverwing.
There's an entire economy devoted to Lugia feathers.
Yes.
And no one's figured out that Lugia lives here.
Maybe this is just a twerp problem. I don't know. I think everybody else knows, and Richie and Ash and them are just incompetent. Anyway, somehow they decide that the best place that they can look for this mysterious Pokemon is on a quote-unquote deserted island. But it's not deserted at all, because people, like, live there. So I'm not really sure where the whole deserted island thing came from.
They don't know what's going on. They're just like, look at the island, it must be deserted. Let's go there.
They just steal a rowboat? I'm not sure where the rowboat came from.
Richie had it in his backpack.
What are the things in Dragon Ball? Bulma's capsules? She just...
Oh,
like,
yeah. What are those things called? Capsule Core.
Capsule Core.
What are those in their name?
You would know better than me. You're the one watching
Dragon Ball.
I should
know better. Yeah. I think they're just called capsules.
I think so.
You just press a button and it turns into a whole house and stuff.
That's what she exists for after Frieza, the capsules.
Bulma's one of the best characters.
And they just don't do a lot with her after she pilots the ship in the Frieza saga. Oh, and I think she does make the bomb for the androids or something, right?
Oh, does she? I have no idea. I should know this. I literally just watched Dragon Ball Z, but I watched it in a haze of, like, what's happening?
Anyhow, so they row over to this island, and they meet a kid named Oliver, and we get to see another Lantern. Which, is this the first time we've seen Lantern? Because I feel like...
I think so.
I don't know. Why do I feel like we've seen it a bunch of times? Maybe it's because of the Chinchou before, but...
Yeah, we looked up Lantern on Bulbapedia. That one time.
Oh, the dolphin. Because Bulbapedia told us it had characteristics of a dolphin, and we laughed at that, because I still don't see it.
Josh, this blue creature, Lantern, does that look like a dolphin to you?
No, it frankly doesn't. It looks more like a seal or something.
A seal? Wait, it looks like a seal to you?
Or, I don't know, at least it doesn't randomly keep pulling Oliver under the water.
That is true. It doesn't keep trying to drown him like the baby does.
I thought that baby was evil.
It was trying to kill Oliver.
We all float down here, Charlie.
Oh, gosh.
They question this boy, and they're like, hey, kid, have you seen the mysterious Pokemon? And he's like, no mysterious Pokemon here. Guess you better leave. Goodbye. But Richie's the only one who kind of sees through this BS, because as we know, Ash and Misty and Brock are perfectly content to just accept that explanation. So Richie is our one character who's like, no, I have to push the plot forward. I think you're hiding something.
I mean, he's right, so I can't be angry at him.
Who's right?
Richie.
About
Oliver hiding a secret baby legendary Pokemon that's trying to drown him?
I guess they don't know at this point that it's a baby that he's trying to protect.
Richie's like, that little boy is a fucking liar.
He's like, I'm gonna get to the bottom of this mystery. It turns out that finally... The big reveal is that this mystery Pokemon is actually a baby Lugia, and its name is Silver, which is very creative, in my opinion. Turns out that Team Rocket not just our Team Rocket, actual Team Rocket has been spying on this activity for an undisclosed amount of time. And they have a dastardly plan to catch it and the parent. Because there is a parent nearby. It's not just a baby that spawned out of nothing.
I found it very interesting that they call the adult Lugia the parent Lugia. They didn't gender it at all, anyway.
Wait, no, legendaries don't have genders, right?
Not Lugia.
So that makes sense.
I felt so sexist because I was so sure they called it the mother Lugia. But no, they never want to say the word mother.
I feel bad now because in my notes I just refer to it as Mama Lugia. I guess it's undefined. Josh, what did you think about Team Rocket?
So the Team Rocket infighting was funny. This whole time we've just got the pair of people following small children around and trying to steal a lightning-type Pikachu and alluding to this grand organization they're a part of. And now here's the grand organization. Also following around a small boy, but that's another topic.
I hate the way you phrase that.
It's even creepier because the Professor Namba or whatever is just watching from there going, well, this scantily clad kid is hanging out in the water.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's a spin that I wasn't really thinking that we'd put on it. But I mean, to be honest, there's nothing really sinister about any of the evil teams. I mean, they can't be too mustache twirling evil.
It is interesting that they have a motive beyond obtain Pokemon, make boss happy. They're actually building an evil MacGuffin they're actually going to use the Pokemon to build some kind of device and actually accomplish something.
I was bewildered as to what the MacGuffin did. Was it an energy source? Is that what they said?
It sounded like they were going to turn it into a death ray or something.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about Namba's secret project.
Yeah.
Is this something that, like, Giovanni okayed, or is this Namba just doing whatever he wants?
Well, Alex, you and I have seen exactly how Giovanni works. He gets drunk at his desk signs off on any plan that comes across his desk. And he's like, yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I just think that they have his stamp and they just do it behind his back. I think he's just vacationing somewhere and they just do whatever.
We've seen him vacationing too.
Exactly.
In his little Speedo.
Exactly. I cannot wait. Speaking of that, how much more do we have to wait for the boss fantasies to start?
We've already started getting boss fantasies.
When was the last one?
The Kecleon episode.
When I say the boss fantasies, I mean like Giovanni and his little orange Speedo.
Oh, okay. That's soon.
Okay.
So you mean people rule 34-ing the boss?
Meowth rule 34-ing the boss.
Okay.
Yeah, so Namba, he's the evil professor. He's the one behind this whole plan. He's apparently living in an undersea Thunderdome area. I don't really know.
I called it a Hydro base in my notes.
Ooh, a Hydro base. This is very James Bond villain.
I thought the same thing.
Right? I mean, it's like an underwater dome that, like, they're doing secret experiments on Pokemon.
They have henchmen.
Yeah, I was thinking of Thunderball and that whole sequence where, like, the evil people are fighting with the secret agents, like, and they're all in diving suits and they're all stabbing each other in the water. And you can tell it cost a lot of money to film it in the 60s.
How many of the James Bond movies have you guys seen?
Probably a good 15 of them.
Josh, what about you? Have you seen any of them?
Three. I've seen Live and Let Die, Quantum of Solace, or I think that's the name of it, and Casino Royale.
I don't know any other names. I don't think I've seen any of them. I've seen Austin Powers. That's about it.
Yeah. I've seen three of those.
Aren't there only three?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Guys, I saw somebody post something about Austin Powers the other day, and it was like, because Austin gets, cryogenically frozen in the 60s or something?
Yeah.
So, from the 60s to the 90s is as much time as when those movies came out till now. That made me had to sit down a little bit.
Do you think they should do Austin Powers 4 of him being frozen in the early 2000s, and he's awakened now?
Oh my god.
That could either be amazing or terrible, depending on how they write it.
So, yeah. So, Silver gets captured by the actual Team Rocket. And we get to see some familiar faces, Butch and Cassidy. How do we feel about that?
It's been a minute since we've seen them. Josh, what did you think of them?
It's kind of weird they only have one Pokemon for each of them. They just pull out the same one every time.
Yeah, they should have more than one each. I don't know. I guess they're like Team Rocket probably gives them their Pokemon, and they probably, like, have a lend and loan program.
Yeah.
If I were to guess.
I don't know why they picked Houndour and Hitmontop, but that's what we get.
I don't know. They had to sell more Houndour plushies that week.
I mean, Houndour's super cute, so I'm not super mad. I don't like Hitmontop, though. I'm
Hitmontop
sorry.
Hitmontop is awful.
What even is it?
We don't know.
Nothing of this earth.
We've talked about Hitmontop, I think, before, and we dragged it then, and we're dragging it now.
It's a breakdancing Goomba in Pokemon form.
It kind of does. And I hate its sprite in the game, and its stupid, like, hopping back and forth.
I take offense, Josh. Goombas are cute. Hitmontop is not cute.
Goombas don't deserve that kind of comparison.
No, they do not.
So we get to see Richie step in and do something. And you know what? I'm loath to admit it, but he actually has some cool Pokemon. He has a Pupitar.
With a stupid voice.
With a very stupid voice. It's just literally a man saying, Pupitar.
I wonder who it was.
Do you think it was one of, like, main cast?
It's probably, like, Eric Stewart or something.
I don't know, but that is not the voice that I thought Pupitar would have. Honestly, I thought it was just going to be like, or something. It doesn't have a mouth.
When has that stopped them before?
Who does okay. the voice?
I was right. It is Eric Stewart.
Oh my God.
Nice. Well done.
Anyway, so Richie steps up because Ash is ineffectual and Brock and Misty are just standing there. And so Luca has to also swoop in, and then she rams the Team Rocket sub with
what? We can't pass over that. We're all battling, it's life and death.
Sure.
And we're all fighting for the baby Lugia. Out of nowhere comes, to Josh's point of view, a random person.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Random. Were you like, who's this girl?
So every now and again, when Alex is watching the episodes for these, I'm in the room. So I do. I did see the Luca episode.
Oh,
so
okay.
I didn't know who that was.
It was just the most jarring thing to me. And I knew it was coming. I was like, okay, and now Luca's here, and she has a fucking boat that she's ramming into people and, like, screaming, like, not on my watch!
I guess she's just reinforced the hull so she can just smash into other ships. I guess that's how she finances her ventures.
That thing is a weapon. She is ready to throw down.
I know, her boat is made out of wood, and didn't she make a point of telling them, like, before that her boat's, like, old and it runs off of, like, firewood and shit? Like, I don't know. But she slams into the metal submarine, and to Josh's point, it's completely undamaged. It hasn't sank or anything.
But is the submarine damaged?
Catastrophically, apparently. I don't know. Because they leave. Sadly, though, they get Silver and take Silver with them. So now we have to go on a rescue mission to try to get it back. Because they know that parent Lugia is going to be very upset when it finds out that her its baby has been kidnapped. So, Jesse and James are also here, our good old familiar Team Rocket, and they decide to follow evil Team Rocket because they want to steal it out from under Butch and Cassidy and get the credit when they give it to the boss. We get some backstory, a little exposition from Oliver on how he even met Lugia in the first place because he was just screwing around in the water, unsupervised with his Pokemon, when he gets caught in a storm and drowns. But Silver saved his life, and he gained its trust.
It is funny in that context that he keeps pulling him under the water. Just reminding him that that kindness can always be revoked.
So, of course, Parent Lugia comes over and is like, where's my kid? And gets very mad, but the twerps end up convincing it that they're gonna do...
I think you've skipped ahead to the next episode.
Not yet.
Yeah, I think... Isn't that two?
No, it's in this part. This is my notes for Mystery is History.
Okay.
Oh, maybe I did skip ahead. Sorry, guys.
Since we're there, I mean, it is funny that the twerp's first reaction is, hey, distraught parent of an abducted child, you need to calm down.
They were so lucky this is a very understanding, patient Lugia, and not like a what I would imagine an animal would actually be like, because that thing is enormous and could kill you. Just like Silver tries to all the time.
I even had in my notes, try that with a grizzly bear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're somewhat sentient, so.
Yeah, which it is funny that Ash says, hey, did you just capture the Lugia? And he goes, no, it saved my life. But it is a little weird that Ash's first instinct would be separate it from its mother, stick it in a Pokeball, and stick it in your pocket.
Well, regardless, I think that's about it. They get into the base, we meet Namba, and we find out his whole plan, this whole operation is in pursuit of his crazy plan called the Pokemon Power Magnifying Project. which he used a Charizard and Feraligatr as guinea pigs previously, but failed. So the next logical conclusion is he needs a Lugia. And that's it. Luca also, I wanted to mention that she just starts rambling something about how it was her grandfather's dream for her to see a Lugia. So she's got to step in. And I'm like, I don't think so. Did she ever say that? Or did Grandpa ever say, like, it's my dream for you to see a Lugia?
No, Luca just has a parasocial relationship with her dead great-grandfather.
That's true.
She just thinks he's always there watching.
She makes some comment at the end of the third episode that I want to say something about. But she really puts a lot of stock into what her deceased great-great-grandfather says. So yeah, that's the episode. We end on a cliffhanger. Team Rocket has stolen silver, and what are we going to do now? Because this is a terrible situation.
All right, let's do MVP, LVP, and quote.
Who's first, Austin?
Oh, fuck. That's my job. I don't know.
You had one job.
I'm first.
All right.
Then Josh, then Alex. My MVP. God, I have no idea because all these episodes are the same episode.
I know.
My MVP will be Luca because of reasons previously stated. My LVP will be Dr. Namba. For spying on a child wearing little swim trunks a distance of miles away and being like, yes, yes.
Oh, no.
My quote will be when we first meet Dr. Namba. A Team Rocket grunt approaches him and says, what are your orders, sir? And Namba says, the same thing I always order, fish sticks. And the grunt says, no, sir, I mean orders for the agents.
Fish sticks are gross. I'm so sorry.
I hate them.
Magikarp Pate. So you guys are going to hate me, but my MVP is Richie for visiting his local library.
You know what? We do have to support our libraries.
That's true. You guys took all of my stuff. I don't know what I'm going to say now.
LVP is Jesse and or James for being completely redundant this episode.
They're contractually obligated to show up, you know.
Let's see. I was actually going to do the fixed sticks quote for mine, but let's track down another one. Oh, my quote is, it's nice to meet someone so concerned about his personal hygiene after Oliver says, I have to go clean my nails.
Brock is ridiculous.
There were some good quotes this episode.
All three of them had great quotes.
Okay, I don't know what to pick because you guys took everything. I guess I'm going to give my MVP to Parent Lugia. Because it's there and it's cool. That's all I got. My LVP is going to be Eric Stewart for that subpar performance of Pewtar.
Sorry, Eric. We know you're listening.
I'm so sorry. You know what? Normally, I'm so impressed by the voices. I mean, he's a favorite. He's a lot of the characters that we like. But that wasn't it, fam. I'm so sorry. My quote. Okay, so it's when Jesse and James have infiltrated this underwater base. They're in their black Team Rocket grunt outfits, the long sleeve ones that they hate to wear. And James says, so tell me again, why do we have to wear these uncool Team Rocket uniforms? And Jesse says, it's all part of that same plan of gaining success by doing preferably zero work.
Same.
I felt that. And that's it. The mystery is now history.
But that's not it, because we got a parent trapped.
Yep, so we pick up right where we left off.
And I have no idea who's doing what. Alex, do you have it written down?
Okay, so the 30-second summary this time is Josh. And Austin, you are leading the discussion.
All right, Josh, you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
I'll give you a 10-second, you know, warning and then a 5-second warning.
All right.
All right, Josh, in 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so I'm blanking on where the line between the episodes is, but I remember this starting shortly after the baby was initially taken. They're all distraught, and eventually they conclude that, hey, we need to calm the mother down, so the storm, or the parent down, so the storm ends. And then, so they go out and they say, calm down, distraught parent. It immediately tries to sink the ship.
Time.
Well,
it's really hard to do 30-second summary.
It is.
The twerps plus Richie and Oliver are all sitting around being like, it's too bad that baby Lugia was taken, and what are we going to do? At which point, Luca pulls up, because in the previous episode, she left for no reason, and now she's back. And she's like, hey, where's that Lugia? And they're like, we don't know. And she says, but what about the parent mother father Lugia? At which point, the parent mother father Lugia rises from the sea and is pissed off.
Okay, this is where I conflated the two, so I'm sorry. It was all happening so fast.
How dare you?
Also, I think she was getting firewood from her firewood-powered boat.
Oh, right.
Her totally environmentally friendly steamboat.
Right.
This is why the Corsola are dying off, because of Luca.
Is this okay? I'm just genuinely curious. Is it better to burn firewood or is it better to burn coal? Maybe they're both bad. I'm not sure.
Yeah, coal has sulfur, mercury, and other stuff in it. It's kind of why you can't eat tuna now.
Oh, dang. I just had some tuna fish yesterday.
I'm glad we can't eat tuna. I hate tuna.
The higher up a fish is on the food chain, the more crap's going to be in it.
Because it's eating all the crap all the previous fish ate.
Yep.
Wait, is tuna high up on the food chain?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, most fish that humans eat are... It's completely the opposite of land animals we eat, our predators, because historically speaking, we've just been kind of opportunistically throwing a hook in the water and seeing what bites it, and usually that's going to be a predator of some kind.
I never thought of it like that.
Huh, interesting.
Well, speaking of animals that kill things, Lugia is pissed, and it causes a thunderstorm, which is not a thing that I knew Lugias had the capability of doing.
I thought they said it had storm powers, because every time we've seen it, it's been in a storm, and then Lugia comes and calms it. So
does Lugia start the storm and then put out the storm and be like, haha, humans, I could have killed you. It's just like its child. It's like, I could kill you if I wanted to.
Let me look at it.
I control the weather, okay? I will destroy all of your crops.
Every time I think about weather controlling Pokemon, it's always Mewtwo in the ball hands. Okay. It's aerodynamic. It can fold in its little back thingies. It says, much like the birds, I guess the legendary birds, it possesses the ability to control the weather.
Thanks, Bulbapedia.
Thank you, Bulbapedia.
Also, when Lugia is angry, it has the power to make its discarded feathers glow red.
What's that all about?
I don't know. That's very strange.
Is it still a part of it? It's a little weird that Luca just has that around her neck. If that's the case, I have a piece of your soul.
Does that mean that every trinket that was on Silver Rock Isle started glowing at the same time?
Silver Wing trinkets were not real. They were imitations.
So it actually is the silver wings that glow. Never mind.
Dr. Namba, meanwhile, in his Hydra base, is very pleased because Lugia has wind strength that's at 275 points, storm power is at 982 points, and Lugia's attack power is at 5,545.
That was my quote.
Sorry.
Can we talk about that? I want to know about what are the points relative to what? Like, what is that?
What is being qualified here?
I don't know. Points. Why are they using a point system?
I guess we don't have anything to say. It's just confusing and weird.
I mean, he was sitting there looking at a graph with a bunch of pie charts, and it looked very scientific.
So Ash is going to go calm down the parent Lugia. And if Ash is going, Richie's going. And if Richie's going, Luca's going. And she's going to take them out in her boat. And Missy and Brock say, good luck, Ash. We're going to stay here where it's safe.
Were they in a cave?
It looked like it.
Okay, maybe they were just in like a beachside cave, because I was like, where are they?
I would not want to be in a cave when there's a storm churning, when the water could come up and drown you at any time, but...
Yeah.
Or trap you if the tide comes in enough.
Exactly. But they're not worried about drowning the cave. They're worried about the Lugia. So they all come out in Luca's boat, and Lugia is shooting out some arrow blasts at them and manages to hit it. But as we know, Luca's little wood boat is indestructible. So even when Lugia's striking it directly, it's not going to be harmed in any way.
Wow.
So Ash and Richie say, please, Lugia, please calm down. And it does. It's just like, okay, will do. And flies away. Now it's the next day. Noctowl and Timothy the Crobat are out looking for Lugia. Crobat is going through some sort of crisis because it's completely changed all of its color scheme. Its skin has now become blue, and its wings have become purple.
So it has Golbat colors?
Yes.
Oops.
Honestly, what do we think about that? Do you think it should have kept its same colors convention, or...
I think it should have been a shiny.
Oh, isn't a shiny Crobat, like, purple with green? Pink with green, or whatever?
Meanwhile, Richie, boy genius, has used his insane logic skills to figure out that Team Rocket is holding the baby hostage underwater because it's not returning its parents' calls. So Missy's like, I got this. And she sends out all her Pokemon, and they all go searching the ocean floor to find nothing. But Oliver's lantern, because it's smart like a dolphin, has found the Hydra base. Lantern is following Team Rocket, like Jesse and James, and the Magikarp sub, and they dock at the Hydra base. Which is kind of interesting because it means that Team Rocket, the organization, is not monitoring who is coming into and from their underwater base.
Well, maybe they just thought that nobody could ever find it.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
I mean, even when they're inside, like, nobody's guarding the important areas. They're able to infiltrate pretty easily.
All the twerps, I think all the twerps are in their diving gear, right?
They just randomly spawn it. They weren't wearing it when they're on the boat. Next scene, they're in diving gear and underwater.
Well, Luca has an endless supply of wetsuits and diving gear for anyone who wants it. She has it in all sizes. She herself is not going to go diving, but she'll give you the diving gear.
We know that that's her MO. She just sends a bunch of kids to do her bidding.
Dr. Namba is ready to enact Operation Great Big Lugia. And
I'm sorry.
Am I taking more quotes?
No, I'm just... I'm sorry. That whole thing tickled me. The fucking operation is called Operation Great Big Lugia. Like, what?
Well, it's in time to enact Great Big Lugia Capture Plan B.
Okay.
Apparently, Great Big Lugia Capture Plan B, it consists of the Hydra base rising to the surface, nearly drowning Jesse, James, and Meowth in the process, because they get stuck in an airlock. And then they put out Silver in a little cage with its horrible, annoying cry, going, meh, 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 waiting for the adult Lugia to show up.
This adult Lugia is very dumb.
Could Lugia not go to the bottom of the ocean and be like, look at that structure that's not supposed to be here. That must be where the Lugia is.
I mean, we only see it in the water a couple times. I think the most, we see it more outside flying around, calling out to it, which I'm like, this Lugia is not very smart.
It's smart enough to know that when children say, stop killing the planet, it'll be like, okay.
It is weird that they say they spend most of their lives at the bottom of the ocean. And it never checks the bottom of the ocean.
Maybe it thought there's no way Team Rocket could possibly be down there.
Well, it thought wrong, didn't it?
It did think wrong. Instead, they have the baby in a cage, and Lugia's like, oh, my baby! So it flies over to get it, and the twerps show up, and they're like, Lugia, you great big stupid bird, they're gonna capture you too! So they start assaulting it with, like, elemental attacks from a distance. And at first, Lugia's like, okay, calm down. And then eventually Lugia's like, fuck you, kids, and starts attacking them, which I can't blame it from its point of view.
Yeah, because it's like, wait a minute, I thought you were on my side, and now you're interfering.
Yep. Richie has the Charmeleon, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Zippo.
Okay, so Lugia actually knocks all the kids unconscious.
In one shot.
Lugia was the one that knocked them unconscious?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed that
That's part. What my notes say. I could be wrong. And so then Ash wakes up, looks around. Holy shit, he and the other kids are in a cage in the Hydra base.
Dun, dun, dun. Uh-oh.
They've been kidnapped.
Kids in cages.
Uh-oh.
Get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. Okay, anyway. I'm really sad. Can I just say, like, one final thing? I'm really sad that whatever the hell Jesse and James and Meowth were planning on doing with that true-to-life, like, life-size Lugia balloon, we never got to see because, sadly, Meowth pops it before they can do anything with it.
Yeah, I love how they were inflating, like, a Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade balloon with her, like, lung power. Like, they were blowing it up with their own breath.
Poor James. All that work for nothing. And Meowth goes and pops it immediately, and they fly off. All right, that's a parent trapped.
And then Lindsay Lohan was there. And what? Also, British Lindsay Lohan was there.
I was like, wait, what? I think maybe I've seen that movie once. Is that the one where she's, like, trying to get the parents together?
Yes, that's the one with the incredibly alarming backstory where the parents have separated children without telling them that they each had a twin sister.
Yeah, that's problematic.
And had no interest in having communication with their own child for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, we need to have a discussion about that. Those parents need some therapy.
Those parents need to, like, not have children. Because clearly they don't want them anyway.
Were they... Okay, so they were married and they had the kids. And then they separated and one parent took one and the other one took the other? Is that what happened? And then they decided they were never going to tell the kids that they had sisters.
Like, that would be on news. Like, that is horrible.
And it was their biological kids, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they were twins. The kids trade places briefly because they're identical twins.
So it's not a situation where it's like, okay, you had somebody who had twins and then just gave them up for adoption for whatever reason. And then one separate family took one twin and the other one took another.
Right. That's sister. That's what happened in that one.
Okay. Which, I mean, I feel like I feel like you still owe it to the kid to say, like, you have a twin. But, like, these were biologically related. Like, they were siblings, and the parents just divorced. And they were like, you get one, and you get the other.
You know what? We got a spare. I don't want to have any relationship with my own flesh and blood child, because I have another one, and that's just as well.
They just split them up like a litter of kittens.
Yes!
God, I mean, that's really fucked up. Like, no, the more I'm thinking about it, it's like the mother and the father didn't want to have a relationship with their other blood child. Like, that's very strange.
Yeah, I only need one. Here, you can have the other.
I mean, they're identical, so you're just getting the same thing, but, you know, copy-paste, right?
Sorry, I completely derailed this.
Anyway, MVP, LVP, quotes. Who's first, Austin?
Oh, right, me again. I'm really bad at this today. Josh, and then Alex, and then Austin.
So MVP is going to be Ash and Richie for their amazing, impeccable crisis counseling skills. Mm-hmm. LVP is probably going to be Meow for popping the balloon. And my quote would probably be, my favorite quote is just dry humor at its peak. Luca asks Team Rocket, how did they catch silver? And he replies, with a metal net.
Ah,
I missed that too. That's a good one. All right. So, okay. You know what? Honestly, I'm going to give it to Namba for calling the operation Great Big Lumia because I was so stupid.
Okay. I'm going to be honest. Namba's fun.
He's ridiculous. He is fun.
I think he's a hoot.
Yeah.
You know what he kind of reminds me of? He kind of reminds me of Dr. Eggman.
I can see that.
He has the same hair.
Yeah, it's that orange mustache or whatever.
And the bald on top with it sticking out right here at the sides.
Yeah.
He has a very similar voice, too.
True.
My LVP, I am going to give it to Misty for always just feeling the need to announce that she's going to use her water Pokemon to solve the problem. I'm like, Misty, if there's one thing we know about you, it's that you have water Pokemon. You don't need to keep announcing to the group that you're going to use your water Pokemon.
And Misty, if there's another thing we know about you, it's that your water Pokemon are never going to solve the problem.
They don't solve the problem because as we can see, the people who actually got anything done were, I don't know, Oliver and I guess Ash and Richie? Question mark.
Luca's supplying diving gear for everyone.
Well, she's stepping up and pulling her weight. Misty just sort of is there and she's like, I'll use my water Pokemon. I'm like, okay.
Here, hold this egg thing. I need to get my Pokeballs out.
Right. So because Austin took the points quote, I can't use it. I will give it to the part when Jessie is deep in the throes of her anger and rivalry towards Cassidy. And she says, we're bagging that Lugia brat and I don't want to hear another word. And James says, I haven't said any words. And Meow says, that was five.
Darn it, that was mine.
Ah, sorry.
All right, I got another Team Rocket quote, though. They're infiltrating the Team Rocket Hydra base. And James says, I just wish we didn't have to put these horrendous things on again. Jesse says, zip it, James. At least one of us looks good in anything we wear. And Meow says, gee, thanks for noticing, Jesse.
I miss that. Oh, my gosh.
Team Rocket's on fire today. Probably because they have a lot going on with their, like, Team Rocket subterfuge.
I'm kind of sad that they don't really, I mean, not to spoil anything, but they kind of have a face-off with Butch and Cassidy, but they really don't accomplish much. I'm like, I really wish they had more of that, but oh well.
My LVP is going to be Misty and Brock for when Ash is like, I'm going to go risk my life. They're like, good luck. Bye. True friends right there. And who will be my MVP? I'm going to give it to Timothy for being willing to change his look for the day. He's going through a phase. I understand that. I've been through several phases myself.
His Golbat phase.
He's like, I was only a Golbat for a short time. I wanted to relive that glory.
Episode 3. A promise is a promise. So I will be doing the 30-second summary, and Josh, you'll be leading us in our discussion. Okay, I really don't have anything to say for this. Like, this is very short.
Well, I hope you have 30 seconds worth of content. And if not, you can just vamp.
Might just have to add some elevator music to the end of this, Austin.
You ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. Talk slow.
Okay, so we're at the end. And I don't really remember where the lines blur, but Namba's here and he introduces himself to the twerps. I thought that already happened, but no, apparently this is the big reveal. He says that this is his plan to enslave Lugia because mankind should be served by nature, and this enrages Ash and Pikachu and Richie and Sparky, and Oliver sneaks in and releases the twerps because Jesse and James gave him the code. Ash body slams Namba. That was cool. Richie defeats the grunts. Sparky and Pikachu team up, and the day is saved. I think I was a little too slow. I overestimated it. All right, Josh, what's going on in this episode?
So, starts with Luca and Oliver, who haven't been captured, going to look for the underwater base. The caged twerps resolve to escape, and the professor is gloating over his two captured Pokemon. He says something to the effect of, "Nice family reunion. Let's separate them for a while." At this point, enter Dr. Namba to explain his entire rage-inducing device, which the twerps, of course, never noticed the suspicious headband on all the Team Rocket Pokemon.
I like how they didn't notice that, and apparently neither did we, because we completely forgot to mention that up to this point.
Wait, when did the headbands, did they introduce them last episode?
Yeah, the battle over the trap. They're even talking about it. Use Rage Attack, and they're even talking about it like it's a buff on all of their abilities.
Like a stat boost.
Yeah.
Since we neglected to talk about this for whatever reason, Namba's big invention was the angry headbands.
Yep.
The angry headbands. And it basically makes the Pokemon mad, which gives them more power. And everybody's shocked to discover that they're like so much more powerful than they would be normally. Because they're mad.
Jesse and James would never.
They would never. Why? Because they're so garishly ugly? Or...
Well, that too. That's a good point, Alex. They would never make Arbok and Weezing be incredibly furious to have better attack power.
Never. Never. But we know that Jesse and James aren't truly bad. They're just goofy.
But Butch and Cassidy are, like, bad people.
They are bad people. And their motto, I mean... We should know by the motto by now. I mean, Jesse and James's motto is good, and Butch and Cassidy's is the bad version, so.
And Jesse even remarks on this. After they're told to fetch fish sticks for the professor, Jesse loses her cool, and James says, they're bad guys, they don't have to be nice.
Oh, yeah.
I love how they subconsciously are aware of it.
They are kind of the reason how we resolve this.
Yep, lots and lots of Team Rocket infighting. Namba continues to explain his plan to the caged twerps, and eventually they get into this whole hilarious philosophical argument about him saying, Pokemon are meant to serve man, and Ash goes, no, they're not. Pokemon and humans work together as a team, which, okay, never saw the Pokemon being particularly invested in any of these contests he's making them fight in, but okay.
Where is N? I feel like N would have a lot to discuss in this.
You are obsessed with N.
I know, because this is exactly his whole game, if you remember. Pokemon, are they tools of war or are they friends?
I mean, they are tools of war.
They're Resident Evil style bioweapons.
They catch them in little balls that forcibly alter their personalities to make them serve their trainers.
Shh. Don't say the quiet part out loud. Shh.
Sorry. Forgot about that. We're friends. We're all friends. They do this of their own volition, of course.
Which Ash insists upon, at which point Professor Namba continues with his might make right argument. Nature is meant to serve man. Okay, Judge Holden. They proceed with this argument. Then he says, it's the greatest way to make the Pokemon more powerful. Then you see both Pikachus, one with bangs and one without, strapped to a table.
Bangs.
Team Rocket have infiltrated the facility once again. They spot the twerps and decide to release them so that in an actually decent plan, they can take the Lugia in the chaos.
As if they have any capability of transporting a Lugia.
Of course, this bites them later, but they then conveniently see Oliver being captured by one of the guards, the only infiltrator to ever be apprehended out of the numerous incursions to take place, by the way. They're in uniform, so they say, oh, we'll take them off your hands for you. Thanks. I'm not going to ask any more questions. And the guard walks away.
They don't really have a robust security system. They just sort of don't really care. Nobody's watching anything, because I think, is this the episode where they just sort of, like, get into that whole control room and Jesse and James see the twerps on the surveillance cameras and see them, and they're like, oh, okay, we need to get the code, which I guess the code is just, like, on a post-it note just sitting there, because they get the code to the cage and give it to Oliver.
It's 11111 probably.
Something like that.
They whisper in Lugia's ear, the code in Lugia's ear.
You mean Oliver's ear, right?
Oliver's ear, sorry. Bad with names.
There's so many characters in these episodes.
Yeah. And I haven't seen most of the preceding ones, so.
There's so much going on for some reason. Yeah. They like really threw everything in the kitchen sink at this one.
Sounds like it really felt like this time like they were trying to hastily tie up all of the loose ends they had created in the last episode, so.
Kind of, and then they just throw in Richie randomly, because I guess Richie's voice actor was available at this time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Honestly, that's kind of a good point, because I feel like we could have accomplished all the same thing without Richie. I mean, to be fair, okay, maybe I should walk that back a little bit. He was the only one with half a brain in the last couple episodes, because he was the one who was like, Oliver's hiding something, and, you know, oh, the Lugia is being held in the base underwater, and maybe we did need him because the Twerps couldn't have figured this out for themselves, so maybe I spoke too soon.
This is a pro Richie podcast. Who knew?
I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. I'm just as shocked as you are.
So what's the deal with Richie? This is the first I've ever seen this character.
Richie is Ash's stalker.
Slash lover.
Slash lover.
Okay.
He's single white femaling Ash. He plans on killing him and replacing him. And he locked Ash and his friends and family in an elevator so that he could come to their rescue and sweep Ash off his feet.
What?
This is our interpretation of Richie's character arc.
Okay.
In reality, Richie is just, he's like Ash if Ash was not an idiot.
Gotcha.
He's like the good Ash, basically.
The good Ash.
With a Yu-Gi-Oh color palette.
You got a Yu-Gi-Oh color palette. He goes to his local library. He's always on top of things. He always knows what's going on in all situations.
Just to add for Josh's knowledge and anybody else who may not have listened to the Indigo League arc, Ash and Richie were rivals. So Ash lost to Richie. What was he, Final 16?
Yes.
Ash was Final 16 in that league, and he lost to Richie. So, of course, like it's kind of his like motivation, his rival, kind of like the good Gary. I mean, Gary's not bad, but like it's just another Ash-adjacent type of character.
Gotcha. So Oliver bursts in, unlocks the door, and Ash somehow reveals that he has super strength because he's able to body slam the professor over and tears robotic arm off the wall. That thing is solid steel, and he just rips it off and uses it to smash open Pikachu's restraints.
Wow.
Josh, would it surprise you to learn this is not the first time Ash has been physically violent with people? And it's also not his most impressive feat of strength. Ash has, in later episodes, will pick up a log off the ground and toss it several hundred feet through the air.
Y'all, I'm gonna look up. You keep talking. I'm gonna see if I can find that log calculation.
On more than one occasion, he has gone from standing there to leaping like Superman, like way up in the air with no discernible reason. So, we're going to add him pulling the machinery out of the ceiling to his list of physical accomplishments.
I found it, okay. I think. Okay, so this is from, wow, this brings me back, cheeseburger.com, you know, that meme.
Oh, my goodness.
Site. I know, my God. I just typed in ash log weight calculation, and this is what came up. And the post says, hey, you remember that huge-ass log Ash ran with and tossed in that one episode? Well, I calculated how much the log weighs, if you're interested. So here we have some screenshots of Ash lifting the log like the Hulk and throwing it like a big javelin. And it says, I decided to start from the scene where the Bagon originally landed on the log. Okay, was about to land on it. Point is, it's the same log Ash threw. Now, Bagon is about 2 feet tall, and since he's directly above the log, I can get an accurate measurement. And then we get some Bagon measurements.
This is a lot more detailed than I thought we were going to get. I thought they were going to be like, the log weighs X.
No, we got to go all in. Okay, so the log is about 6.5 Bagons long. Multiplying that by 2, that's 13 feet. Okay, I'd say the log's diameter is fairly consistent all around. So they're measuring the diameter of the log. The Bagon's a bit far away, but I think the log has roughly the diameter of the height of a Bagon, 2 feet, which translates to 24 inches. Now, if you looked at the top, there was only one thing left I needed to input. Doing some further watching, I found the trees in the area look similar to cottonwood. Okay, blah, blah, blah. So I put in that the tree was a cottonwood tree, and here is the results. Bloody, bloody, blah. Ash Ketchum, a 10-year-old boy, almost effortlessly picked up, ran with, and tossed a log that weighed an astounding 1,385 pounds.
Nice.
Sorry, you say 3,000?
I'm sorry, I said 1,385 pounds.
Okay, we need this person to watch this scene and calculate how much force it would take to rip the steel device out of the wall.
Ash is incredibly strong, all that to say.
I kind of wish he would take the steel arm and then start beating Namba to death with it.
That would have been great.
What were the other examples where Ash has been physically violent with somebody?
He tried to punch Mewtwo.
That's right.
He tackle rushed Richie and grabbed him and, like, threw him to the ground.
Didn't he try to get physical with AJ that one time?
Oh, yeah, he did with AJ. I forgot. That's early on.
Yeah.
There are others. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
There's probably been more examples. Anyway, Ash tackles him to the ground.
Meanwhile, Team Rocket has made its way into the room with the main Lugia's cage and are trying to decode or otherwise open the locks on its cage. Unfortunately, they are met by none other than Butch and Cassidy, at which point they engage in a protracted Pokemon battle that spans the next couple of scenes and they cut back to an on and off. Spoiler alert, then they eventually accidentally damage the mechanism holding the cage open and the Lugia escapes. But while all of this is going on, Ash, Richie, and their two differently styled Pikachus figure out how to dodge. They engage in the 1-2 punch of dodging the attack and then using Lightning Bolt to disable the headset, the Rage headset. So they set out looking for the Pokemon, looking for Silver, and eventually find it in Lugia's office because he decided to move it there, like onto his desk, like a total creep.
Wait, I'm sorry, Lugia has an office?
No, sorry, Namba has an office, and he has just put the Lugia cage on his desk so he could just stare at it while in its distress.
Oh, you mean the baby one?
Yeah, the baby, Silver.
Ooh, that's so weird.
So he's just got it in there. He spawns another lightning-type Pokemon, but this one has hands and punches things.
I'm sorry, Josh, I just have to say it's adorable that it's lightning-type for you. It's electric, but that's
okay,
so cute.
I have a counterpoint to that, Alex.
Ooh, tell
me. It's lightning in the CCG.
It's lightning-type? Okay.
Yep.
So Josh was right in some iteration of this.
Josh, do you like how we just, like, spend this entire time going, actually, to each other?
Yeah, I had to pokey-splain to you, Josh, sorry.
That's all good. Once they've finally cornered Emba in the room with Silver, a Pokemon battle ensues, and they try their 1-2 punch of dodging the powered-up attack and attacking the headset, only this time it has a shield of some variety, so the Pikachus get bodied. Cut back to Team Rocket. If I'm remembering correctly, this is when the bumbling fools finally manage to accidentally let the Lugia out. It goes full kaiju at that point, bores its way through a wall.
That was scary.
Yeah.
This thing could rip a hole in the wall at any time and drown everyone there.
Yeah, it starts poking holes in it. The sub's emergency surfacing, and you can tell there are just hundreds of souls on board because they're immediately rushing to stations to try to contain the leak and not die. So they've just released a kaiju, basically, and it goes searching for its kin. Eventually, Ash and Richie's Pikachus, with the help of additional Pokemon, manage to subdue, I don't know what Namba's Pokemon is called, and disable its headset.
I can understand you not knowing Electabuzz's name, because it doesn't say Electabuzz. It says, like...
It says... Blah, 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 blah,
blah. And it gets the spiralized, the definitely not dead spiralized, falls on Namba and traps him. They free Silver, stick it on a cart for some reason to transport it, because it can't walk, I guess. And at this point, they manage to reunite it with its freaking out parent. They're reunited. Of course, it's pissed again, and they have to calm it down with their grade A crisis counseling one last time before it protects them from an attack with a shield, because Butch and Cassidy return one last time to try and confront them. At this point, it's a race to escape. It starts boring holes through stuff. They eventually escape through the side of the building. It explodes as they're leaving, if I remember correctly.
Not a single casualty, though. Not a single soul's dead.
Hopefully the hundreds of people crewing this thing got off safely.
Wait, were they underwater still at this point, or were they above the
water?
They
had managed to surface, but then it explodes. At this point, cue the tearful goodbye. They're back in the boat. The Lugia and Silver are literally swimming off into the sunset before diving. Oliver remarks that he'll probably never see the Lugia again because it's best that they're separated at this point. tearful goodbyes are had all around. They talk about where they're headed next, and credits roll. Oh yeah, Luca has this very creepy monologue about how her grandpa's in heaven smiling down on her for having found this apparently well-known Pokemon to prove he wasn't crazy, I guess.
Oh yeah, that was that comment that I was talking about earlier.
Luca is, there's something going on in her head. Like, she is seeing ghosts or something.
She's completely made it her life's mission to clear the name of her great-grandfather, who she likely never met, and prove to dead men that her grandpa actually saw a Lugia, because the feather was actually on the boat that sunk. And now she's claiming that her grandpa, great-grandpa, was absolutely there the entire time, watching over her shoulder as a ghostly figure.
I choose to believe that she actually doesn't have a great-grandfather that had the silver wing. I think this is a random man whom she has decided is her great-grandfather.
To attach herself.
Yeah.
So, the plot of Uncharted, basically.
I still need to play Uncharted. I own those games, and I've never played them.
Neither have I. I'm going to subscribe to that, Austin. I think that this isn't actually her grandfather. I think she's just probably a lonely and potentially disturbed individual who came across this legend or like a newspaper article and was like, yes, that's my grandfather.
Luca's a very enigmatic character.
Yeah.
We don't see her again after this, right?
Nope, she's gone.
Gone forever.
She's still on her steamboat, wandering aimlessly in the ocean.
She sailed it into heaven.
Oh my god. I have to ask, do we see Richie again?
We see Richie again? Us, the audience? Ash, Misty, and Proc never see him again.
Is this a cameo in Journeys?
Yes, he does have a cameo in Journeys.
So when is it that we see him as the audience?
Soon-ish.
Okay, but they themselves do not have another encounter with him.
No, Richie gives up his stalking of Ash. Well, actually, I take it back, because Richie first goes to Ash's house and is like, is Ash here?
Wait, he goes to Palatown?
Yes!
After this?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, we'll get there when we get there.
All right. Yeah, so that's our Whirl Islands conclusion. What did we think overall?
It really did feel like a TV movie.
Yeah.
Like, this was act three of the film.
Overall, I liked it. I do think, like you all have pointed out, it is a little weird that they pivoted to a known Pokemon as opposed to it actually being something that people hadn't seen before. It does undermine a lot of the previous kind of lore they've created for this thing.
Like, they have, like, encyclopedia knowledge of Lugia, but then Ash has come here not knowing what's going on. Richie's come here not quite knowing what's going on. Luca's here, and she's like, I wonder what this feather is like. Like, no one knows what's going on except for Team Rocket, by which I mean Dr. Namba. And he's... Dr. Namba's cuckoo banana pants, so...
He is. Maybe you have to be a certain amount of mad to know what these things are.
I mean, I guess it's more for the benefit of the audience, because it's like, okay, if you didn't watch the movie, then you're not super familiar with Lugia, but I really don't know how that could be the case, but to the point we made earlier, the whole economy of this island chain revolves around it in some form or fashion, so I'm not really sure why it wasn't more of a commonplace household name of like, yeah, oh, mysterious Pokemon, you're probably talking about Lugia. Like, it's no big deal.
They could have even gone the angle of it being like cicadas. They mentioned that they only come up to shore to raise their offspring, so, and spend most of their time near the bottom of the ocean. So they could even just have made it the angle of, oh, they're very rarely at the surface, so we almost never see them.
See, Josh, you're prescribing logic to a Pokemon anime show, so
yeah,
it doesn't exist here.
I've already lost.
I think that's about it. Do you want to move on to the MVP, LVP in quotes?
Yes.
What's the...
Oh, goddammit, I forgot once again.
I would have thought after third
time.
No,
I'm going to forget every single time. Alex, you're first, then Josh, then Austin, the moron.
Oh, no. So my MVP is going to be Jesse and James. They're the real heroes of the episode. They are truly the superheroes, because without them sneaking in, getting the code, and telling Oliver, who knows what would have happened to the twerps. So because of their heroics, we were able to save the day.
When you two say Jesse and James, are we including Meowth in their unit?
Sure. Well, no.
Okay. He's explicitly excluded.
Yeah, he's he doesn't make my MVP this time. It's just Jesse and James. Honestly, I guess it's more so Jesse, if I really want to be... No, both of them, because I think it was a joint effort. My LVP is going to be Luca. for her absolute insanity and delusion that she's currently experiencing. I hope she can get some help.
Mm. She's been at sea for too long.
She's got scurvy or something.
She's got ocean madness.
She's going to end up one of those like crazy salty old sea dogs that like sit in the dark corner of the
she's going to use her great-grandfather's identity and be like, I am that man.
Oh my God. Not me thinking that she's got his like corpse and she like props it up and stuff and talks to it.
Very Norman Bates style.
Very.
Tell me, Grandpa, where can I get more wetsuits?
My quote is the obvious one. I'm so sorry in advance because I know this is probably somebody else's idea. It's when Jesse has her big idea to infiltrate the surveillance room, and in the chaos and confusion, when everybody is trying to deal with the twerps, they'll sneak in and steal the little baby Lugia. She says, we'll coerce those creeps into creating chaos, causing a calamity, and in the uncontrolled commotion, we'll capture those condors. And James says, brilliant use of the letter C. I love how she calls them condors, because they're big, giant birds.
I hate when they do their alliteration.
Oh, why?
I hate it. It's my least favorite.
And why do you say that? You have to explain
yourself. It's the most unnatural-sounding dialogue ever.
Because nobody speaks like that in real life. If anybody out there knows somebody or they themselves speak in alliteration on, like, a daily or casual occurrence, please let us know.
If you speak in alliteration, I fucking hate you.
All right, who's next?
So my MVP is going to be the Lugia for casually kaijuing its way out and rescuing everyone effectively, helping them escape.
Sorry, Josh. I love how you call it Lugia because I'm imagining its name is like Lucia. Like Lucia the Lugia.
Lugia. Lugia. LVP is going to be Ash for telling the Lugia not to give up on humans. If there's one lesson to be learned from all of this, it is do not trust humans.
Which I think it takes to heart at the end because it leaves, never to be seen again.
Operation Great Big Lugia.
My quote is when the professor is turning up the rage dial on its Pokemon, I forget what it's called, and he goes, feel the rage! Now feel more rage!
He does the voices so good.
My LVP is going to be Jesse and Jane. Actually, it's going to be Jesse specifically for her use of the letter C. My MVP is going to be Ash for his super strength and willingness to choose violence.
Ash woke up and chose violence.
Actually, I take it back. My LVP is not Jesse. My LVP is the Who's That Pokemon I catch.
I didn't get that in the version I watched.
Well, I did. And in my version on the DVD, Who's That Pokemon says, Exeggutor was better in battle before it evolved.
What?
I don't know why it said that, but it's incorrect. Therefore, it gets LVP.
Better as an execute? Debatable. Questionable. I'm not sure. That's very random.
You know who wrote that? Jacob.
Wait, why does Jacob hate Exeggutor? I just don't understand.
Because we love it so much and he likes to be a contrary.
That's true.
My quote will be, this is not a very good one. Cassidy says, Jesse. And Butch says, and John. And James says, you said that wrong on purpose.
What did they call him in this one? They called him Biff?
I don't know. Or no one can remember Butch's name. I don't think it's the greatest joke in the world, but it's a thing. That's it.
At least they're consistent.
Actually, no, it's not it. Because we also got some listener feedback.
Oh, yeah, your announcement. Austin wanted to wait till the end. What's your feedback?
It's not an announcement. It's Tristan has some notes.
Oh, yeah. So following up on our guest host, Tristan.
So I'm not going to read this out word for word, but I'll read the gist of it. He says, the twerps are stupid because they don't see that Cassidy and Butch's Pokemon have little, like, tiaras on that are, like, anger tiaras.
Oh, was he specifically referencing this episode?
Yes, he was.
Was this from our Spotify feedback, or?
This is on email.
Email. Oh, okay. Love to see the email getting utilized. Thanks so much, Tristan.
Tristan says, I'm going to read this out loud. Butch and Cassidy apparently just pick all the twerps up and put them in a cage. No concern with the fact that they were unconscious. Just put them in a cage and hope they're okay. It's almost like they figured that they were still breathing. It was good enough. Is there a doctor on board that examined them? It seems awfully cruel and inhumane. And my response to that, Tristan, is yes, Butch and Cassidy are bad people. They will totally throw a child in a cage and not care at all.
They don't really observe the rule that you're not supposed to move somebody that's had a head trauma.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't just throw them in the ocean and let them drown.
Thanks for the feedback. Was that all, or?
A couple more things. Oh.
Oh, a couple more things.
How are Jesse and James still employed by Team Rocket after the events of this episode? Wouldn't Giovanni have fired them? I'm going to say, Tristan, you're on to something.
I'm not sure that they're entirely... I don't think Giovanni really entirely knows that they're on the payroll still.
No, I don't think anyone was aware except for Butch and Cassidy, and they're incompetent.
It's like one of those situations that you read about where it's like somebody... Wasn't it from like a guy from Italy that had a job for like 20 years and he got paid and they didn't even know he was on the payroll or something? Like,
I'm just going to say, we're going to find out some information about Team Rocket's employment status in the near future.
Oh, I'm so excited. Well, thanks so much for the feedback, Tristan. And if anybody else has anything that they would like to ask us or pose to us, we would always appreciate that. So before we jump into our outro, Austin, what is on tap next week?
Throwing in the Noctowl and Nerves of Steelix.
Do we also lose Noctowl soon, or?
Nope.
There is somebody who's been noticeably absent that we may not be seeing very much in the near future. So I think that's coming up though, right?
Very soon.
Very soon. All right. Well, this has been so fun. Josh, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you being with us and taking over for Jacob while he's still out. I loved it. Loved getting your perspectives on Pokemon as somebody who really doesn't listen to or watch this.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You had a much better understanding than I thought you would, Josh.
Austin's like, wow, he did much better than I thought.
Quick question. Do you happen to remember which episodes were airing when you saw them on Kids WB? Like, which era?
Okay, so I vaguely remember this. I'm going to just mention the episode I remember most clearly. Remember that one where some asshole kid had told a Charmander to just sit on a stump for years?
Okay, Damien. Season one. Yep.
Yep.
And I left that Charmander.
Yeah, that's roughly when I was watching.
That's a classic. Oh my gosh.
Although I think I was mostly seeing reruns at that point. That's the most clear one.
Damien, classic.
Damien. Oh man, I miss those days. I mean, we're still in the four kids days, so I'm not like entirely too sad yet, but all right. Well, this has been really great. I'm glad we finally discovered the mystery. We got the whole Lugia of it all out of the way. So now we can get back on track with gym battles next time. But if nobody else has any final thoughts, I'll close this out. So we'd like to just say thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. And if you have any sort of thoughts or feedback for us, you can always get in touch with us on our social media. So if you want to email us, our Gmail account is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, that's outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or give us a shout out over on Twitter or X @outofdryingpan. And we also have an Instagram that I need to post on. So that's outofthedryingpan over there on Instagram. And if you'd like to support our podcast, if you like what we do, think we're funny and great and wonderful, you can always support us on our Patreon. You can find the link to that in the description of the podcast. And as always, thanks so much for listening. We hope you join us next week as the journey continues.
So do I stop recording now?